Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen. Not everybody's sick, that's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Were you glad to come to the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Verse number 15 says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I've got a lot of gifts over the years, but only one that was unspeakable, indescribable, and that's the Holy Ghost. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. There are a lot of people who try to live for God, but it's very difficult without the Spirit of God within you, because it's that Spirit that causes us to want to live for him. Changes our desires, our appetites for things. And so once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it seems that you just want to do the things that God wants us to do. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word this morning. You truly have been grateful to a people that isn't even worthy. But God, we're so grateful. We ask your blessing and anointing on your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The word unspeakable in the Greek means indescribable or through an act of giving. How appropriate at this time of the year. There's lots of acts of giving, and we try to wrap up love in a package, and that's basically what Jesus did. Our great God has given us a gift that is beyond words or beyond description. It's something that every one of us need. Christmas. You know, in America, some people are almost ashamed to use the word Christmas. They use happy holidays and a lot of other expressions because they don't want to sometimes identify themselves as a Christian. But this morning, Merry Christmas to everyone. Everyone knows about Christmas, but there are so few people who really know what the meaning of Christmas is. Most Bible scholars believe that Jesus was born in springtime, not on December 25th. In fact, springtime is when the lambs are born in Israel, and it just makes sense that that's when the Lamb of God would be born. The astronomers also can take their planetariums and bring the stars back to exactly the night that Jesus was born in, and they show that there was a star that was born at that time, and it was also in springtime. But all of this should not have a bearing on celebrating the birth of Christ. There are some things that are unexplainable and some things that are traditions. Much of Christmas has been steeped in paganism. Years ago, I talked about all of the different things. A tree, for instance. There's a tree in the book of Isaiah that is talked about that is forbidden, and it is a post that was decorated with gold and glitter. It's got nothing to do with our Christmas trees, you know. It's not something that we can preach against. People are more open to spiritual awareness at Christmas time than any other time of the year. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are some things that are traditions that aren't in the Bible, but this is an opportunity to bring Christ to people. They just need to be informed about our God and what he did for them. The gift was presented at Bethlehem, but it was unwrapped at Calvary. Jesus was born in a manger, but there was a shadow of a cross that hung over him for 33 years, knowing that he would have to suffer because he loved people so much. He just didn't want to create a people. He wanted them to be his people and interact with individuals. It's not enough just to go to church. It's a relationship with God, talking to him and having him talk to us. What a tragedy if we don't open this gift. Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4:10, If thou knewest the gift of God, if you only understood who you're talking to, who's standing in front of you, who's in this room this morning, it's time that everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Amen. This morning, I want to show you the correlation between the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. Bethlehem meaning the house of bread or the house of God. He was born in the house of God, in other words. And the correlation of the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, how they just fit together so perfectly. And God has shown us through Scripture. Let's look at the conception of Jesus. If you go to Luke, the first chapter, and verse 35. In verse number 30. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." You know, in the Old Testament, everybody wanted to know the name of God, but the name of God was not revealed until the flesh of God was revealed. Verse 32 says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So we find in verse number 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." I want you to highlight those two words, "come upon thee," and "the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." So the word "come" here is translated in the Greek as preside over, to be responsible for, to influence, and always have an eye on. The word "upon" means to superimpose, a placement of something over another. In other words, God superimposing himself over Mary. This is how she was to conceive. So with the conception of Christ in Mary, it was the Holy Ghost superimposing himself over Mary to preside over her and take responsibility for her, always watching and influencing her. It said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power," or that word "power" in the Greek is dunamis, which we get dynamite, "miraculous power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." And that is how Christ formed in Mary, an overshadowing of the Holy Ghost in her. Now, those same words are repeated by Jesus just before the 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room, almost word for word. Folks, this is really revelation. If you look at Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power," what? Dunamis, dynamite, miraculous power, "after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." There are those same two words as in Luke 1 and 35, "come upon you," and it's the same overshadowing of Mary that comes to each and every one of us as we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We receive Jesus Christ the exact same way that Mary received that conception of Jesus in her, is how we received and conceived Jesus within us. The same dunamis, the same dynamite that presided over her presides over us, influences us. He takes responsibility for us. need more information. God wants to reveal the mystery of all of it to us, especially at Christmas time. Take a look at Colossians, the first chapter, verse 26. What the world doesn't know, what a lot of denominational churches don't understand, verse 26, even the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to who? His saints. What is a saint? Somebody who has been sanctified or filled with the Holy Ghost, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles. What? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The overshadowing, just like Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, so we give birth to Christ within us. Thank God he has opened our eyes to not only the real meaning of Christmas, but more importantly, that we know that Jesus is birthed within us. If you look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, death, burial, and resurrection, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. You know, the gospels are in the New Testament, but God never really revealed himself until the book of Acts. He couldn't reveal himself until after his death, burial, and resurrection. The will could not be read until after someone dies. And so even his disciples, even his apostles, didn't really recognize who Jesus was until after his death, burial, and resurrection. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. There's so many people who have no idea who Jesus really is. There's only one God, folks. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he lives within us. You know, you have matured when you get more pleasure out of giving a gift than you get giving it. It's more exciting to me now to be able to give a gift. And I believe there is nothing more exciting for God than giving somebody the Holy Ghost. I believe there just is such joy in heaven when someone raises their hand, starts worshiping God, and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. He's filling them with himself, if you will. Amen. In fact, Psalms 68 and 19, it says, blessed or happy be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He's happy when he gives us things. As we mature, we get happy to see a little kid opening up a present because it's our joy wrapped up in that present. So when God is birthed within us, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. We, in a sense, become as he was on earth. We now become both flesh and spirit. So the flesh doesn't dominate anymore. It's the spirit within us. He put his spirit within us and caused us to walk in his statutes or his law. So Jesus was the God-man. He was flesh and he was spirit. And he has replicated himself in each and every one of us. When he overshadowed us or filled us with the Holy Ghost, we are still flesh, but we have God within us, so we are flesh and spirit. His purpose for coming in the flesh was to save those that heard him, and we then take on the same position as his to try to save others who hear the word of God. We become an ambassador of Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse number 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, in his place, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And then chapter 6, verse 1 says, there weren't any chapters when Paul was writing this. He says in verse number 1, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So he puts this power within us in order to allow us to give others the information or the gift that we have. We have the perfect gift for the ones we love. He has duplicated himself in us to open the gift of salvation to others. A lot of people struggle. You know, when I first came into the church, I thought, you know, it's like giving somebody $1 million and they don't want it. You don't understand until you receive the gift how important the gift really is. So many have ignored it. That's good for you, but it's not for me, until they understand how important, how valuable it is. It said in Acts 1 and 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." The whole purpose for the Holy Ghost is to give us that tenacity to want to give this information to other people. We then transfer God's gift to people around us. You see, most people have no idea of the gift of God for themselves. I went to church for years, as many of you, never understanding that that there be any Holy Ghost. Like it says in Acts, the 19th chapter, those 12 disciples, when Paul says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They didn't know anything about it. I didn't either. I wasn't even sure that I wanted it until I recognized through the Word of God and the Spirit. But when people aren't satisfied with all this world can offer, when they get to the place where all of these things that should satisfy you does not satisfy you, then they seek out the best gift, which is God. Turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. Starting in verse number 9, here's what Jesus said. It's so simple. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." So simple. On the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you find me. If people don't want anything to do with God, they don't want any information, well, God will not chase them down. But the day you get to the place where you simply ask. And many times people have to get to a place where sickness or troubles in their life cause them to now say, "God, can you help me? Because nothing else has." Verse number 10 says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." It's a guarantee. If you do these things, God will open a door. He'll step forth. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Amen. I remember I received the Holy Ghost after several months in the church. But I remember asking God. I knew it was going to happen, what I was seeking after. In fact, it took me a while because there had to be a real desire for it, you see. Had God filled me with the Holy Ghost before he really showed me how to worship God, perhaps I would not be the worshiper I am today. James 1 and 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, there's something inherent within people at this time of the year that want to put lights out. Because Jesus is the light of the world. We have to substitute many times things of this world for the things that are spiritual. You can only get this perfect gift from above, built in a way that nothing else can satisfy. And God said it's without exchange, no variableness or shadow of turning. Amen. You don't want to exchange what God has given you for something so worthless as a Ferrari, you know, or a $2 million home, or a relationship with someone. So you don't want to exchange the best gift, the most perfect gift, for something that's so trite. Amen. We may have failed God many times, but a gift isn't earned. God's gift was paid for at Calvary, and the Bible tells us that the gift and the calling of God is without repentance in Romans 11 and 29. And that scripture means a lot to me because there are times where I know I have failed God, but God hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't said, come on, give me the gift back. You know, you're not worthy anymore, you see. We didn't earn this gift. It was something that God gave. After we got to the place where we asked, we knocked, we said, can I have it, God? God won't change his mind about this gift or the calling of God that he has on your life. Yes, but Pastor, you know, it's been a long time and I haven't exactly been the perfect saint. How many people walk in here and think, you know, I know me better than God knows me. I know what I've been doing and what I haven't been doing, commission or omission, you know. But God hasn't changed his mind about what he gave us or what he wants us to become. Regardless of how many times we fall, God will never give up on you, ever. There is not an exchange program for the gift of God. So we have established that with God, every day is Christmas. Every song we sing, like Buzz said, is a Christmas song. It's celebrating Jesus. We can open a new present every day. Amen. All you have to do is pick up this book, unwrap it, look into it. There's promises that we can unwrap and we can have. Ask, seek, knock, and shall find. Open it up, unwrap it, and he'll reveal to you, not only through his word, but by his spirit as we seek him. And in these end times, God is not just giving gifts, he's pouring them out. Time's short, and whenever God sees a visitor coming into the house of the Lord, he's just so excited to give them a gift that he's been waiting for all his life. I was 30 years old when I came into the church, and God has been watching me and waiting for me just simply to ask for the gift that he always wanted to give me. So since we are in a giving frame of mind at this time of the year, what would God want? We do Christmas for Christ every year, and that's a wonderful thing. It really is. But what about you personally? He would declare that we should re-gift that which he gave you. You know? Glory to God. Isn't that what happened to each and every one of us? Somebody was filled with the Holy Ghost and truth, and then they shared that gift with us. And maybe we even resisted it at first before we ever ripped the paper off. And we received enlightenment from above and the gift of the Holy Ghost. We take the position of God in handing out his gift to people around us, around the tree of Calvary, if you will. Turn to Matthew, 10th chapter. Verse 40. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Well, verse 40, that was 35. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So we are truly that ambassador. I come in Christ's stead to give you that which Christ already gave me. And then verse 41, it says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. I've always thought this scripture was so incredible. There are our evangelists and missionaries have sacrificed so much. And when we somehow help them, God's saying it's like you're in the same position. God transfers the position of gift giver to each and every one of us. And that started way back in the Old Testament. If you turn to Numbers, the Old Testament, and chapter 11, verse number 16. Moses was having a problem. You can imagine 1.5 million people and trying to pastor all of those people and all of the problems and all of the counseling. And so verse number 16 of that 11th chapter of Numbers says, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, and whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with me. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So, then verse number 24, it says, and Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them around about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit resteth upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So the Spirit that was on Moses now was put on 70 men. See, God wants to duplicate that Spirit. And then verse number 29 says, and Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. God wants his spirit upon everyone, that everyone be that prophet. What is a prophet? Hey, tell me about the word of God. Tell me about God. That's what a prophet does. Amen. Aren't you glad it's not just a one-man show? Huh. I like somebody say, but I got to make an appointment with the pastor. No, you have more information than a lot of ministers do in other denominations. Just one gift giver from the pulpit on Sunday? No. Every Sunday is an opportunity for you to preach to somebody, not in a bad way, but in a loving way. God entrusts each of us with this giving of the most precious gift on earth. Our gift to God is giving the message of hope to those who are in darkness. Light from above. Acts chapter 2. Verse number 16, it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. It sounds like it's the spirit of Moses that was put on the 70, but now it's the spirit of God that is put on 120, and then 3,000, and then 5,000, and then millions of people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. The word prophecy here means to exercise the prophet's office. So everyone here is ordained to be a prophet of God or to spread this good news. God has entrusted us with the gift of truth and salvation. Amen. You know, it's not enough to just go out, buy a gift, and wrap it up, put it under the tree, and it looks good, but nobody ever opens it, you know? We might look good. Somehow we need to open up and tell somebody about the goodness of God in our life. And while it could be said that some preach the truth without love, is it really any better than to speak love without truth? And there are plenty who speak love, but they don't have truth. Moses said, oh, would that God allow everyone to have the spirit of God on them and prophesy. Well, God answered Moses' prayer. This church is filled with people who have the spirit of God upon them. Gifted people. But we need to do the work of the prophet outside the building. We can't be an aquarium. We need to be fishers of men. Unwrap this truth in love and take a gift to somebody like somebody brought a gift to you. Amen. Church, we need to unwrap the pages of the book. Amen. I've said this so many times that there is nothing more exciting to me than teaching a home Bible study, showing people some things that they have never seen before. The excitement of somebody's face when they recognize that it never rained before the flood, that God in Genesis 2 and 5 watered everything from a mist that came up from the ground. When people see all of these things in the Word of God, that they are such presents, such gifts. And to give this unspeakable gift to someone this Christmas, a gift for eternity, it's Christ in you. The hope of glory. Could there ever be a better gift? Could a gift ever cost more than the gift that our God gave us? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift. Would you stand with me, please? In our basement, in your basement, are probably all kinds of things that somebody got for Christmas some years ago. Some may be broken, some were never used at all. And we keep them, and we transfer them from one place to another. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you can't just set it aside someplace. It's to be used and appreciated every day. Every day. Amen. And that's what's so exciting about living in a Pentecostal life. Because the Spirit of God comes upon you and refreshes and renews you every day. Amen. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?